ザック・セイバー・ジュニア。ザックの前に立ちはだかるやつはみんな Just Tap Out。
おい、
いや、
Warm。
Oh shit、
oh. I just won the New Japan Cup and you're giving me warm beer?
Yeah。
What kind of savage do you think I am? What kind of savage?
Bullshit.
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 It's a joke. When I'm champion,
yeah,
things are changing around here. And number one, cold fucking beer.
This is the MLW Radio Network.
Hello and welcome to a new episode of the Eastern Lariat Podcast, your show for news, notes, reviews and opinions on the world of Japanese pro wrestling here on the MLW Radio Network. And it feels good to say that again after 3 weeks, Dylan. Of course, I'm your host, Striga. Hi, as always. And I already introduced him, basically. I'm with my man, Dylan, again. It's good to be back.
Striga, we missed you. The people missed both of us, probably. But you haven't missed wrestling, though.
No.
I know you were at WXW, and that was a crazy moment with Ilya Dragunov coming back. That has to be one of my favorite moments of the year.
You know, it has been retweeted by none other than Kevin Owens, and I think by other WWE people as well. I think Mick Foley retweeted it as well. It was the craziest moment that I ever experienced in wrestling. There is nothing else that comes close to that moment and to that emotional high everybody felt after that. We from the media center had the chance to have a roundup with Christian Michael Jacobi of WXW on the Sunday morning, and I noticed that everybody was still smiling from ear to ear. Not only WXW people, but also fans and media people were just so happy about this moment and everything surrounding it, that Ilya had finally not only conquered Bad Bones, but also conquered the WXW world title. At the very moment that this happened, I was lost for words. We were just jumping and hugging. That was basically jumping, hugging, and screaming. That was everything we could do at that moment.
Yeah, man. You know, ever since I kind of got stopped wrestling, pretty much, I've never actually been to a show live in 9 years. This was the first one I actually wanted to go to, because I've always been told, like, not to do stuff like that, like not to go to shows or buy merchandise or anything, because for wrestling weird rules, the unwritten rules of wrestling reasons, pretty much. But this one, I really wish I had gone to, because that Dragunov moment, that to me was just all time. You know, you can't forget about it. It's an unforgettable moment. The match could have been anything. Like I told you. Off the air, the tournament was great as it was, the 16-carat tournament, but even if it was terrible, this moment would make it so well remembered. You know, the ending of him winning the title was even better than last year's, I thought, of him winning the tournament, just because it was so unexpected, this comeback for so many people, until he announced it was a triple threat match, and then it was like the anticipation mounted for it all at once. So just an incredible moment, really great tournament that WXW put on. Those guys are doing tremendous work right now. Yeah. I really love them.
And again, kudos to WXW for just pulling off that moment and not ruining the moment by having Ilya win the belt last October or last December. This one, the anticipation was there, and it was just a perfect moment.
Oh man, for sure, for sure. And props to WXW too for having like a media center too. I've never seen indie shows like that have everything so well put together like that, I feel like.
Yeah, you know, I've said it on the show I did with Ollie and Benno yesterday for Post Wrestling. I did a review of the 16 Karat show as well. They are very smart about it. Like, unlike other promotions who lock out media or who tend to lash out on media, WXW embraces the media because they know they get buzz from inviting people to cover their shows. It's that simple, but yeah. Apparently not everybody gets behind these simple ideas.
I mean, you know, like I said, the unwritten rules of wrestling, that was probably started, you know, 30, 40 years ago, this, okay, you know, this contentious relationship with the media.
But yeah.
I think WXW, totally on the cutting edge. And I know those guys are probably fans, too, that run the company. So it just starts right there from the beginning. I mean, to start a company in Germany when they did, you know, I think you would agree, no offense, that it wasn't exactly the wrestling hotbed when WXW started. So these guys have to be big fans and know what they're doing on there. And I really love what they're doing. Even with the fans, they're so fan-friendly. They had all that controversy over the GIFs or whatever, if you want to say,
I'm a GIF
online. Life. Yeah, yeah, whatever. Like I said, it's all the same to me. But like when all that was starting, WXW said, we have one rule. Go nuts over him pretty much on Twitter with him. So I love what those boys are doing in WXW. They seem like a great company to work for, to wrestle for, to go see live. Everything about them seems awesome to me. So I really enjoyed watching that whole tournament, that WXW 16 karat gold. And I really recommend their service, WXW Now, to people.
And as you just mentioned, the early days, there was something that I always wanted to bring across to the American or English listeners here. The German wrestling scene used to be very weird. Sometimes it's still weird. And one of the weirdest things about it was that the people that trained in the late 90s, early 2000s, they were brought up under the rule that whenever you talk to media, whenever you're on TV or on radio or talk to the newspapers, you have to pretend that European wrestling is real and the fake stuff is happening in America.
Smart plan.
Yep. And that is something that WXW went away from. They just broke with this, I don't know, tradition, you might call it.
And yeah.
That was probably for the best.
When I was like 5 years old, I used to have a similar argument with my friends on the playground, which one was real, WWF or WCW.
Exactly.
So it's good that they continued that tradition in Germany back in those days.
Yeah, man, I would love to talk more WXW, but I already did that, as I mentioned.
Yeah, you have another show for that.
Exactly, on the Post Wrestling Network. We're here, obviously, to talk New Japan Pro Wrestling, but the connection is clearly there because Zack Sabre Jr. is one of those guys that got his break into pro wrestling by WXW. Do you actually know what his first WXW appearance was, Dylan?
All I know is that when he did, he had some horrible hair back in those days.
He certainly had. Zack Sabre Jr.'s first WXW appearance was on December 12, 2006, in a match that he lost. It was a three-way match against Steve Douglas and Darkseid. The match happened in Colchester, England, in front of 200 fans. And it was a first-round match of the European King of the Death Matches 2006 in a tables, ladders, chairs, and 10,000 thumbtacks death match.
That happens to a lot of like more wrestlers than you would think. I'm not just saying in death matches, but like they'll start off in one style. And when you're just starting off, when you're that young in your career, you're just trying to find out what you're good at. And, you know, what kind of niche you can create in your own way. And I'm sure that's what he was doing these wacky death matches. But I think it's safe to say that was not his forte. I think he found it later on.
Yeah, he certainly did. He went on. His first actual WXW match in Germany was against Tommy End, May 2011, 2008, both very young in their career. They used to be a tag team after that. They were known as the Crimson City Saga. And obviously, Zack Sabre Jr., the first WXW Unified World Wrestling Champion after WXW unified the heavyweight title and the lightweight title. Zack was the lightweight champion at that point and won the belt. He was the first champion, dropped it to Walter, like, I think 2 months later, but he went down in history as the first one, and now he is on top of New Japan Pro Wrestling as the winner of the 2018 New Japan Cup, and right after that he called out Okada, and he also called out Shoot Week. Dylan, what did you think about Zack Sabre winning the New Japan Cup?
It's about damn time someone called out Shoot Week, first of all. So, I feel like he may have stole my gimmick from, like, 2 years ago when that started. So, copyright infringement on ZSJ, as some people call him.
His name is ZSJ.
Yes, he is ZSJ. But I didn't expect this, but I'm very happy about it because I think, especially in this tournament, I think a smart thing for any promotion, and we just talked about WXW, they're a great example of this style of how they put their roster together in terms of not just booking, but pure roster construction. I really appreciate the fact that people with different styles can stand out, and you have those guys on the roster. And what Zack brought through this entire tournament and all of his matches was a style that nobody really can replicate on the heavyweight side of the roster. And to the extent that he can, for sure. Kind of a world of sport on speed, as I call it, style. You know, that's kind of how I look at him. And I say that with a compliment, as a compliment for him. And we saw it in the tournament. He had some of the best matches. I thought that Tanahashi would win. And I mentioned this on Twitter. Everybody got mad at me when I said
that. I saw the tweet. That's why I was asking right away.
Yeah. No, I wasn't mad about Zack winning. I was happy about Zack winning. But I thought that just from Tanahashi's perspective of the finals, I was expecting Tanahashi to win because for the reason we had laid out when we previewed the show 3 weeks ago. But I thought for Tanahashi's point of view, it would be better for him to win now because it's like, what kind of athlete wants to share an accolade? Like, that to me isn't great motivation for an athlete. But to keep the he's also the Undertaker now. keep the record for himself is a much greater motivation to me than to say, I'm fighting so we can share the record. That isn't that dramatic to me, whether you win or lose. Not that it won't be dramatic, because it will be a very emotional match. And it'll be a great match either way, and I'm so happy that Zack is getting this push. I didn't think they would do it last year when they first brought him in. I didn't think they had huge plans for him, and it seemed like they didn't for a while. But now, they've really pushed him well and done way better than I ever could have expected. This title shot, like I said, unexpected. I think even for the most optimistic people of Zack's run, I think they couldn't have expected getting a world title shot this early. And his performances in the tournament itself really proved that he's worthy. I think he's a great international star, too, for New Japan to build around when it comes to their American expansion. I think he's got a lot of name value here. So pushing him smart on all levels, I definitely didn't have a problem with it. I really loved him winning. My only caveat was I thought Tanahashi could get the title shot only for the record purposes, not because of anything wrong with Zack winning, because his matches are awesome, and his style makes him unique, and his heritage makes him super marketable to the outside world. So I have no problem with this with Zack Sabre winning, and I'm very happy he did just as a fan. What about you?
Couple of points, actually, on your takes there. For Tanahashi, I'll just leave it but at this for now. There is always Dominion.
Yeah, I think everyone expects that.
Yeah.
Everyone expects that. But, yeah, I don't think that is as a good of a story. Like, say, fighting him at Dominion to say, I win so we can tie the record together. That's not that's not good motivation, in my opinion. If I were playing sports or any sort of thing like this, that to me would be kind of whack motivation.
It's whack, maybe whack motivation, but still, it would prevent Okada from getting the soul record.
And somebody mentioned this on Twitter. I thought it was actually a really great point that Okada beating Tanahashi is very symbolic to break the record.
Yeah.
So I can feel it. I have no problem with it. Everyone took it like I said. This is a terrible mistake.
No. I didn't take it like this, but I can absolutely see your point. And Tanahashi winning made sense. We talked about it on the preview show we did at the beginning of the month. It made sense, but if you look at what the road that led to Zack Sabre winning, when he plowed through not only Naito but also Sanada in the midst of Suzuki-gun and Los Ingobernables starting their feud, in the back mirror, it makes absolute sense that he went all the way through. And right around that, creating a new star in Zack Sabre Jr. And you mentioned his wrestling style, and that's something that I noted after his semifinal match with Sanada as well. We're used to these high-octane, big move New Japan main events now with the likes of Okada, Naito, and Kenny Omega. But Zack Sabre brings something totally different. He brings a great change of pace in these main event matches. And the great thing about these matches is that he is so smooth and so silk, and he makes it still looks like it's totally painful when he wrenches the arms and legs of his opponents. That's just so amazing. And especially the match with Sanada. We talked about Sanada before on this show, Dylan, and we didn't talk him down, but we said that it looks so effortless what he does inside the ring. But with Zack Sabre Jr., I thought he had his perfect opponent, because yes, it looked effortless, but it still looked like a real struggle that the two of them had. And the same with Hiroshi Tanahashi. And I noted that in the Tanahashi match, it went about 30 minutes, I think, the final did, and they didn't have a single high spot for 20 minutes.
Yeah, at 34 minutes, 10 seconds they had in that match.
Yeah.
But, you know, Zach and Tanahashi's proven it in this tournament as well, that as much as he's known for those high-octane main events that you talked about with the Okada Naito house style, sort of, Tanahashi's proven that he has a great mind for wrestling too, and he's using that to his advantage in the tournament against Zack Sabre Jr. I thought their match was beautifully laid out. I thought it was a big improvement even on the Sanada match. Zack had a tremendous tournament. I think not only did he win, he was the MVP, and like you said, that's a great point on your part too. His star rose tremendously due to what they did with him. And it shows you, when the guy lives up to the expectations, you can make a star that fast.
Yeah, you can create a star that fast. And, for example, with Zack, you now have a guy that you positioned as a wrestler that just uses submissions to win his matches and that can apply a submission from anywhere. And we know that submissions can tap out anyone. Even a guy like Okada. And not only did they position him as this dangerous submission wrestler, they also positioned him with Taka Michinoku. As Taka Michinoku is basically now what Gedo is to Katsushika Okada.
I thought it was so smart to do that too, to really increase his, because he's such a star for the rest of the world. You know, he's got such name value over here and stuff. But to Japan, they're still getting, you know, they still haven't quite seen what all he can do before this tournament. So having Taka there to really give him that extra push shows how behind him that the company are. And I think they really see big things for Zack. Getting him Taka to talk for him as his Gato, as you rightly proclaimed, I think it's worked perfectly. He cuts, and plus Taka's so charismatic on the mic too. Having him behind you is always a good thing. So it's really helped the fans come along for the ride on this Zack Sabre Jr. experience, so to speak, for the New Japan Cup, I think.
There is going to be a Korakuen Hall show before Sakura Genesis, And you can bet that the main event is going to be Okada and Gedo versus Zack and Taka, and that's going to be fire.
The battle of the mouths.
Yeah. Pretty much so.
But the funny thing is that Zack, on his own promos, is really awesome.
Yeah.
So it's not like he needs somebody to talk for him. He just needs it due to the language barrier to the fans, and that's what helps him. But even when Zack cuts promos, he's just like next level to me on the mic. And I've always thought this. I've always thought he was super underrated, even all the way back to the Noah days when he was still young. And obviously in the British promotions he frequents, such as RevPro, Progress, those places like that, he's always been a great promo. And I just loved his line about knowing Strong Style better than all the Japanese wrestlers.
The exact line, was, I am Strong Style. I didn't train in the New Japan Dojo, but I'm more traditional Strong Style Japanese wrestling than, I don't know, everyone in this company. A slim, skinny British boy understands the history and style of this company more than anyone else. What a killer. Brilliant. What a killer line that was.
Yeah, awesome. Like, he's just such a great public speaker. He has a way of talking, too, that he could tell jokes and stuff, but come across as not trying at all. And that is a great skill to have for any kind of comedic talker. And he has it nailed down. Probably one of the best in wrestling, actually, at doing that. Because if somebody's like a comedy-style wrestler promo, it's so over the top that I usually don't like those kind of people, but him, he does it, he integrates it in a way that I think really works towards everybody, and I love his natural poise that he has on the mic. He really has it more than, like, lots of people, even in America or England or anything like that. He's just awesome. I love Zach, man. He's such an awesome wrestler in the ring, on the mic. He's so marketable to everybody, well-liked by everyone, plays the social media game well. You know, the guy, he's a stud, man, and I'm really happy that he won the tournament, and he's gotten this push that he totally deserves.
Yeah, and he also said that this company, New Japan, used to be based around submissions, and there is now an Englishman that brings back the traditions of New Japan, and that everybody is so concerned about American bullshit and posing and looking at the camera and having a t-shirt, and he said it's a disgrace. There is a place for this American stuff in modern New Japan Pro Wrestling, but I'm very happy that there is also a place for traditional Japanese Pro Wrestling, as we had this extremely great Tanahashi versus Minoru Suzuki match earlier this year, and we now had these amazing Zack Sabre Jr. singles matches, and we're getting another one of those singles matches, as Katsushika Okada has also been using this Cobra Clutch move again and again, and he tapped out, for example, Chase Owens in a tag match that they had. It certainly doesn't look as good as Zack Sabre Jr.'s submissions, but still,
they are
positioning him in a role where he could use the Cobra Clutch on Zack Sabre Jr., and Zack Sabre Jr. could just laugh it off.
Oh man, that to me is way better than him winning with the Cobra Clutch. That was my fear, because this move looks terrible, like when the way that Okada does it, and any sort of true submission artist or any kind of shoot person like that would just be ashamed, I feel like, of it. Even Shinjiro Otani should be ashamed of this. But, you know, if Zack does that, I think that would be probably one of my favorite spots of all time, because I would love that. No offense to Okada, but this Cobra Clutch has got to go after this Zack match. I like that they're building a story to the match, but not the move itself. No. I also like that they teased both too really good with Tanahashi. They always faced each other in the tag matches, but also he was using the submission. So it set up like, you know, he could face either one of them. So I really like that little touch.
The guy is just so lengthy, Okada is, you know. It's just, if he applies a certain submission like this on a guy like Chase Owens, he looks like he's twice as big.
I know. Like I said, who gave him this idea to use this move as his submission? I guess, but the thing is, red ink wasn't exactly the hottest.
Nah,
you know.
I know, right. But there has to be something. There has to be.
The quest for Okada's submission move continues. I think maybe he should adopt the Puma Blanca Naito had. That should be his next foray into submission wrestling.
Maybe. But we already talked about Zack's opponent in the finals. What did you think about Hiroshi Tanahashi as the Kingsmaker, basically?
Man, he did great. I thought putting over Zack and Juice so well, both in a row, put over Taichi early on. Mm-hmm. Even when he wins, he's still putting people over in these matches. I think it's pretty much anyone would agree yes. with that. And obviously he put over Zack. So he's just done great. There's no doubt about it. Just like I said before, as much as his wrestling is known and appreciated, his mind for wrestling, if you've ever, you know, heard him talk or listened to, you know, or read any of his translated promos, this guy's mind for wrestling is so high level. You know, he's the galaxy brain of pro wrestling, I feel like, because he thinks everything's through so meticulously. And he did it again here. He knew exactly what to do with all of his opponents that he wrestled. Even considering Fale, because they've wrestled a bunch of times before. There's only so much he could do, but still, he worked the perfect style of match, had a great finish for his opponent. And the other three, they all needed that touch that Tanahashi gave him. And not every main eventer would do it as good as he did. In fact, there's actually very few that would do it as good as he did in terms of making them look on his level like he did. So really great stuff from Tanahashi in this tournament. And I love his position right now in New Japan, because I think he is at such a high level, and he got to the finals, he got these wins to the point where, you know, Zack beating him still means a lot, you know?
Yes.
He's falling down the card very gracefully, I feel like, and doing everything he wanted, and that is why I think he doesn't get the credit he deserves as a drawing power wrestler, mind for wrestling, but mostly as an ace for New Japan. He's done literally everything they could have hoped for from him, I feel like, from his entire career, and especially these last 5 years or so. I think he's really stepped up and helped the company out tremendously in ways that may not get appreciated by the average fan.
Yeah,
and we saw it again here.
Because a lot of Tanahashi's accolades happened before New Japan got this immense international recognition. But definitely, you should, if you haven't seen Tanahashi in like 2009 to 2012, where he really became this genius that he claims to be, you should really go back and watch the matches that he had back then, when his body was still in much better shape than it is now. But he's still a great mind for wrestling, which is why his matches are still tremendously great. And for example, here with Zack Sabre Jr., Tanahashi, he put him over, but without making Tanahashi look like a second-tier wrestler right now. As you mentioned, he's falling really slowly. And one of the points which I made out here was that Zack Sabre Jr. exposed his one weak spot in the bandage that he still has from his biceps tear. He ripped it off in the finals, which led to Tanahashi having a lot of trouble with his offense against Zack Sabre Jr. And he used that, Zack Sabre Jr. used that to later on apply these submissions that in the end tapped Tanahashi out.
Yep, that's exactly right. I thought it was just such a well-worked match for both men overall. There's really so much you could say, but I love too that Zack has decided to name his finishing move the orienting with Napalm Death. So very, very good stuff there.
Big fan of Napalm Death, especially their great Nazi Scum song.
Yes, very great
song. Yes, so we already mentioned these guys, as we talked about Tanahashi and Zack. The semifinal opponents of these two were Juice Robinson for Tanahashi and Sanada for Zack Sabre Jr. We talked about the Sanada match already. And the Juice Robinson match, I before the tournament, I thought Juice would be one of those dark horses, and he then made it to the semifinals. And in the match with Tanahashi, I noticed that Tanahashi tried to turn heel on Juice. But people were so invested into Tanahashi winning this thing and going against Okada at Sakura Genesis that it didn't work out. It was funny to see how Tanahashi tried, but didn't work.
Yeah, he's a little too quick to go to that well, so to speak, because he's always so good at it when he's willing to work subtle heel, as some people would say. And we've seen it before in his Okada matches when he was trying to get him over as the next ace. But here, I think he went to the well a little too fast with it. No offense to Juice, because I really liked their match. I think Juice was a standout of someone who elevated himself. Good call on him being the dark horse here, because he had a great run. Like I said, really elevated himself. Tanahashi elevated him. And it showed that Tanahashi believes in him too to even do that, because he wouldn't have done it if he didn't believe that he was over as a fan favorite in New Japan. And I just thought it was a really good match. To me, Juice, he's someone that I don't know has how much farther you could go with him in Japan, but as an international prospect for whatever their expansion will be, he's someone that I think will have a lot. And his position right now, even in Japan, is really great. Because he's someone that could challenge for an IC title.
Yeah.
And we're seeing that he could challenge for the NEVER title, too. And, he's done everything right in this tournament. He's done everything right since he's gotten to New Japan, I feel like. And it's really a great story of where he's come from. We talked about it plenty of times before. But Juice, I really loved what he brought to the table in this tournament. And I think he's a great and very valuable asset to this company right now as a mid-card American babyface.
Yeah, I don't know if he'll ever be at the level of an IWGP Heavyweight Championship run, but maybe he could get a championship match eventually. But certainly he is now pushed to the level that he could be a completely believable IC or NEVER champion, as you just mentioned. And obviously they are going into this direction with Juice Robinson.
Yeah.
And now he's not the dark horse anymore, because he's now flamboyant.
Yes. Tanahashi also did good. He gave him props after the match too, and everything like that. You know, he gave him the hug and all that, helped him up.
Mm-hmm.
So always good to see that. I think another thing we have to mention before we move on, just to bring it back to Tanahashi for a second, we saw the return of the air guitar twice in this tournament. So that was a big moment too. We talked about Dragunov coming back. Daniel Bryan coming back to WWE, the air guitar coming back is a third, I think, of the returns.
Very great detail there that Juice picked the air guitar up from under the ring, but he didn't, because he had this long match with Tanahashi, he didn't have the strength to throw it into the ring, so he passed it over to, I think, Shota Umino was there to throw it into the ring.
That thing's heavy, man.
I know. But yeah, that was cool. And another Tanahashi match I really liked was his first round match against Taichi, especially because in this match, Tanahashi, just as he did against Juice and just as he did against Zack Sabre Jr., he gave Taichi a lot. And he pulled Tanahashi up to a level where you didn't necessarily think he'd be able to beat Tanahashi, but still to a level that Taichi was able to be competitive with Tanahashi.
You know, Taichi, we saw his match at the Anniversary Show versus Naito.
Yep.
We saw his match at the K-Dojo Show versus Naito. And during those matches, I thought they were pretty, not bad matches or anything like that. They were pretty good, but definitely not high-end, I would say. And this was the first time, and a large part of the reason for that is because of Taichi's own limitations, more than anything. And in this Tanahashi match, I know that everybody loves Taichi, but this was the first time, I think, when he hit that Gonzo Bomb, because so Tanahashi, in addition to all of his other accolades, deserves the bravest wrestler in wrestling award for taking that move from Taichi. But that, when that happened, the match picked up and went to a different level, because before that, I thought Tanahashi gave him a lot, and Taichi, what he did with what Tanahashi gave him was waste a bunch of time and walk around the ring and be terrible, like always. But then when he hit the Gonzo Bomb, I also tried to cosplay Kawada very poorly with those kiss, the face wash kiss.
Well,
never do those. Never do those, Taichi. And that reminded me of, this is a basketball reference, so watch out.
Oh, God.
But during this year's dunk contest, there's this guy, Donovan Mitchell, young player. He tore off his jersey to reveal an old Vince Carter jersey, like a legendary dunker of the dunk contest. And he did one of his dunks, one of Vince's old dunks, one of his most known, but he did it very poorly, and everyone made fun of him, even though he technically won the contest on Twitter and everything, because it looked whack. And when he did those Kawada kicks, that's exactly what it felt like to me, like somebody doing something that I know I loved, but doing it in just a horrible imitation way. But the Gonzo Bob turned it all around in the match, and things really picked up in terms of the drama. And I think it was a good story, too, that Tanahashi was coming into this hurt, where he already had an out. I think a lot of people actually thought that Taichi could win this match.
Yes.
You know, so I think that helped a lot. That mm-hmm. helped a lot. And to me, if that had happened, that would be a total waste of Tanahashi's return,
yeah,
in my opinion. But I thought the match really picked up by the end, and it became a really good match. I thought it was better than the Naito matches, in my opinion. I thought Taichi stepped up, finally.
I already thought that the second Naito match was better than the first Naito match, especially yeah. because Taichi just took these crazy bumps he did.
Yeah.
But yeah, still, the match that he had with Tanahashi was better than that one. But we'll see where Taichi goes from here, because with Naito and with Tanahashi, he clearly had two of the best opponents he could ask for in New Japan. And yeah, let's see where the heavyweight road leads him. And another person where we'll have to wait and see where the road leads him to is Kota Ibushi. But yeah. Kota Ibushi, I thought, had a very good tournament as well. Especially you, Dylan, wanted to talk about his match with Yoshihashi. But we also have to mention his match with Zack Sabre Jr. in one of the most wholesome matches of all time, with two great guys in the match. I absolutely loved this one. I saw some people that didn't necessarily were as high on this match as I was, but to me, it was just filled with excitement, and that's basically all I asked for in this one. Zack again wrenching Ibushi's arms and legs in horrible places, into horrible pretzels, and Ibushi fighting back with fiery babyface spirit. And that was just a great match in the second round here. I loved it a lot. And also, Ibushi versus Yoshihashi was a good match, I thought. But I'm certain that you'll have much more takes on your boy, Yoshihashi.
Yeah, I want to know who wasn't high on that Ibushi match, because to me, I thought that was right
not
up
as
there.
Not as high as I was, I said.
Well, I'm with you, Striga. I thought that was either the... I think, really, those two matches and the finals, you know, you could ask me three different times and I could give you three different answers in terms of my favorite match. I'd probably say the Yoshihashi match most of the time, because just the novelty of it, you know. To me, that Zack Ibushi match was just awesome. I never thought of it as... I didn't think of it as wholesome as you. I think you put more heart into it than
yes,
I did, Stricker.
I certainly did.
I have to admit. But I thought it was just an amazing experience. I thought it totally over-delivered. And my expectations were already high. But it totally over-delivered from what I thought they would do. And I thought it was better than their G1 match from last year. And that was a really good match, too. So I just thought it was a great match. The Yoshihashi match was interesting because Yoshihashi, he's had like these spotlight singles matches in recently in New Japan with Sanada and Naito, and I thought he totally delivered in both of them. Those are my favorite matches on both of those shows, and largely due to his influence. But I think his push, for me personally, is more like he's better as an underdog character, you know? Than a, how would you say, like a true main eventer,
yes,
if you would say.
I know what you mean.
Yeah, but here, this was the first time in this Ibushi match, this was the first time that I felt like he was on the level of if you pushed him, it could work. Like, to that level, I think you could always push him, it would work. But towards a main event level in this match, I feel like.
Yeah, and that's the one criticism I have about this match. I also liked it a lot. The thing is, with the underdog, Dylan, if the underdog never wins, who believes
yes.
in the underdog?
I, I was just going to say that, because they keep giving him these singles matches, which to me makes it seem like they see something in him.
Yeah.
Because they keep giving these matches, and he keeps delivering on all of them. And he clearly... And 2 years ago, he had a lot of fan support before they just dropped it all. I know he could get over. Like you said, he needs a win. He needs a big win over somebody to get that credibility to keep these matches interesting, because nobody believed that he had a chance. They started to, due to his in-ring work by the end, when he broke out all of these crazy moves that we had never seen before from him. You know, first of all, I have to admit, too, the flip pile driver was what everybody was talking about, because to me, this might be the first flip pile driver in years that I didn't think was bad in a match, because it's just so overdone now. But his totally worked because it was unexpected. And I really love the Sabato as a move for him. I think it fits him and his style very well. And so to me, I think that's what really did it more than anything, because he just did a lot of stuff that nobody expected. And really made it seem like he was giving his all to finally win one of these big matches. But yes, you're completely right in terms of his push. He really needs a big win. I think he's earned it with these performances. I think it would only help going forward if they continue to use him as the workhorse of the undercard, which is kind of his gimmick at the moment. And I hope he does. I don't know who could be next in line for him to face or who they want him to win over, actually, but I think he needs a win.
Actually difficult, because at this point, I don't see how he would beat anybody, basically.
Yeah.
I'm just looking at the guys in the New Japan Cup, and I don't know who is there. I would go as far as to say that if he has a singles match with Taichi, Taichi would probably win.
Oh man, I hope not. Like I said, to me the problem with Taichi is, like I said, I really don't see him going anywhere either. So it doesn't matter, kind of. And I think Yoshihashi has a lot more upside than someone like that, but I don't know. You may be right in terms of how they've booked things so far. He's definitely kind of on the lower end of the totem pole. If he would get some wins, I think it would help him, but I don't know if they're going to do that. But I think if they did, it would work very well. But like you said, it's kind of so far gone from when he beat Omega like 2 years ago and stuff. Yeah. He got that big win. It seemed like he was, you know, he had delivered. He's one of the best people in the tournament. Emotional investment. People are crying in the crowd when he lost. Remember that? But yeah, now it's just so far gone from then. They've done so much damage. It's going to be hard. But until that point happens, I still enjoy his wrestling, and I thought that was probably my favorite match of the tournament, because I thought he totally hung in there. It was the first time it felt like to me that he was stepping up in the, you know, the fictionalized world of New Japan. Since I think he stepped up in that context, and I think this was the first time we saw it, and hopefully they go somewhere with it. Although, considering what they did right after the days following his loss, where he just lost again and again to people like Killer Elite Squad, I figure that they probably don't have any plans for that, unfortunately. But I was really impressed with his wrestling in this tournament, though.
Unfortunately, yeah. Before we move on to the non-New Japan Cup stories on this tour, I want to shed the light on some more matches here in this tournament. Second round match, Sanada and Toru Yano. 5 minutes. I don't know how you feel about it. You know that I love Toru Yano, and I love this match.
Did you love Yano's match with Davey Boy?
I hated it.
Yeah, and I hated both of them. So I said, "What difference? I guess the only difference was one was half as long."
Yeah, exactly. But, you know. Zanada and Toru Yano went 4:51, and Toru Yano and Davey Boy Smith Jr. went 12:45. Three times.
Yeah, that was great. Yeah, way too long for a Yano match.
Yeah,
but even 5 minutes, it's like. Like, he's another one of those guys. Like, his comedy is very, like, over the top and that kind of thing. And to me, I just don't think he's very funny. Even what he does isn't that entertaining to me on the best level. And to be honest, we've seen his matches a million times. It's always the same kind of stuff. Very one-dimensional, and I'm just not into it, really. That's all I can say. If you like it, that's fine. He plays a role in this company.
Yeah.
I saw
a great tweet from a comedian. I don't remember who it was. He said that Toruyano is such an inspiration to him because he dreams about pulling off the same two jokes on every single show and getting away with it.
Exactly. Like, to me, that doesn't impress me at all. Like even on a comedy wrestling basis, which I'm already going to not... That's not my favorite style anyway. But even if it was, what he does isn't that great to me. I don't see how what he does is very funny at all. So... And also, it's the same problem as him with G1. When you're putting him in these situations where he can win title shots, that to me is not his purpose of the company. That shouldn't be where he's at, beating people like that. Even just David Boy, who, you know, he's probably going to be going for a tag title shot or whatever soon. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I wasn't feeling Yano in this tournament, which isn't that surprising, I'm sure, if you listened to this show before. But that's my feelings on him. And if you like him, that's fine. If you think he's funny, that's great. But that's just not my style, really.
We had another one of these Tanahashi and Bad Luck Fale matches. The usual stuff. You have to say, basically, now for Tanahashi and Fale. They, again, had a great finish for that one, with Tanahashi getting away with the countout victory over Fale. Thought that was a good way to protect Fale here in the second round. We had, in the first round, something notable I wanted to bring up is Chucky T headlining a New Japan show in 2018 after his career a couple of years ago seemed to be over with him not getting booked for WrestleMania weekend a couple of years ago. I think it was in New Orleans when he wasn't booked for WrestleMania weekend. Here he is in 2018 teaming with Okada and headlining a New Japan show. So, way to go for Chuck Taylor.
Yeah, well, definitely way to go. I've always thought he was underrated as a pure wrestler. He's another one that got stuck in that. He got stereotyped in that comedy role.
Yeah,
but as a wrestler, I've always thought he was actually really underrated. And a lot of people don't know this, but he actually had a. I don't know how similar it was. Like, we're not friends or anything. But he wrestled when he was very young, just like I did in Tennessee, because Kentucky's commission would not let him wrestle as a teenager. So he actually traveled to Tennessee to wrestle when he was younger. So I thought that was that's I've always had that kind of connection with him too, on that end. And yeah, you know his match it was good. I don't want to go crazy over anything, but his match with Sonata was pretty good. You know, I think that's all it was pretty
exactly.
good. But
exactly.
I was happy to see Chuck Taylor main event the show and get this run. I hope he continues. Hope he's someone that Ring of Honor utilizes well, because in their company,
they have to utilize him well. Now that
they need him in that company.
Another one that I wanted to talk about here is Yujiro Takahashi, because I thought that he actually had a good singles match with Juice Robinson in their first round match. 16 minutes, that was a match from Yujiro that I didn't think was too long. I usually would say 60-minute Yujiro match, man, I don't want to see that. But I like that. Again, just the same with Chucky T not going out and saying that this match was great or anything, but just a good first round match here.
Yeah, they paced it well. They put a lot of action into the last 5 minutes of, you know, in terms of big moves and stuff. They had a traditional build to that. Yujiro broke out some pretty much all of his arsenal.
Yes, the story here was, the story going in was that Yujiro said, if I beat Juice, I get a place in the G1. And he basically hit Juice with all of his moves, and it just wasn't enough.
Yeah, that's true. It's a poor Yujiro on that end, but
well,
you know, I thought he did a good job in that match.
And then people talked about the Gunzo Bomb that Tanahashi took, but what the fuck was this crucifix super power bomb that Michael Elgin did on Tomohiro Ishii?
It was a splash mountain from the middle rope, and that he dropped him on his head. during it.
Man.
It was devastating. There was another one, too.
I just can't imagine how you talk this thing through and come to the conclusion that, yeah, we should totally do that.
I'm sure Ishii was fine with it.
That's the bad part about it.
I'm sure Ishii was like, great idea, man.
Yeah, drop me on my neck.
Yeah, like I said, I don't care. Like I said, I'm telling you, Ishii, I always say this in the G1s, because you know by the, like, this 15th day, everyone's wearing bandages and all of that, they're hobbling out to the ring. Ishii, it's like, oh, he looks fine when he walks out. Like, this guy, indestructible. And I watched that match, me and my great-grandpa were actually, we were watching this tournament together. He likes New Japan, too. Yeah, he likes Japanese pro wrestling, too. Long-time wrestling fan, but he's kind of got turned off by WWE and thinks the real wrestling is in Japan now, much like your German friends.
Yes!
the real stuff is in Japan now. So, but after this, and I don't know how he came to this conclusion, because I've never talked about, like, he doesn't go online, he doesn't know anything about Dave Meltzer.
What do you mean he isn't on Twitter or what?
No. Wow. But he doesn't know anything about Wrestling Observer or anything like that or ratings. But he stood up after that match, that Elgin and Ishii match. He said, that was 5 stars right there.
Wow. And I got to say, Dave Meltzer gave it 4.5. Good thing your great-grandpa isn't on Twitter.
That's true. He yeah, see that.
He would give Dave Meltzer hell.
Oh, yeah, that would be trouble. But, yeah, he thought it was 5 stars, man. Like I said, so I wasn't arguing with him after that. But I don't know. I wouldn't go that far, man. Maybe like a star or lower or something. Maybe even lower than Meltzer, unfortunately. But, yeah, Ken, he is the Grandpa Ken. He is the loosest raider of Japan pro wrestling. I feel like the easiest mark of Japanese pro wrestling. But yeah, to me, I remember that match just, not just that move, there was another one where he threw Ishii into the corner, and he landed on his neck again. Yeah. So Ishii's neck, plenty of punishment taken in this match. But like I said, I'm sure he's fine. He brushed it off. Didn't want Elgin's help or any of that bullcrap. He was just mad and bitter and a short, indestructible ball of pain that he brought to the table.
Yeah, all right. So from there, let's take it to some non-tournament action in the New Japan Cup, as Ibushi was on the chase with Chase Owens as basically the replacement lover for Kenny Omega. While Kenny Omega was away, I really liked these tag matches that Ibushi had with Chase Owens, and sometimes at one show I think he had a 6-man tag with Bad Luck Fale being involved. I enjoyed those matches. Chase Owens, he plays his role. It doesn't matter what the role is that Chase Owens has to play, he plays the role perfectly.
Yeah, I'm a huge fan of Chase. I think he's someone that, if they wanted, they could really find a role for this American expansion again. I think he's someone that's underrated in some ways, but I think a lot of people are getting on his train, so to speak. You know, when you compare him to some other talents, you know, like mostly from Ring of Honor, I think he really stands out in his own way. Like you said, great utility man role for New Japan, I feel like. On his end, and I think he does a great job with whatever they ask for him. We saw it in the Rumble before the Tokyo Dome. He had a great push, great run, and now this run with he was the honorary Tongan. Remember that? And now him and the Golden Lovers have this alliance. I think it totally works out for him. I think he's done a great job, though. It's hard to say why this alliance has happened or why he's with them on their side, but it's cool. Yep. It's fine. You know?
It totally is, yes. I enjoyed it a lot. It's going to be cool when Kenny Omega will be back eventually. Well, they are having the match on Strong Style Evolved, obviously, but Japan is where it really counts, you know? And
yeah,
one of the stories that has developed through the New Japan Cup is a new rivalry between two groups, as Los Ingobernables de Japón are now basically positioned as a face group in New Japan Pro Wrestling, and they are now taking on Suzuki-gun. And gotta say, Dylan, I really enjoyed these multi-man matches they had on the New Japan Tour. It leads to some cool singles, or it led to some cool singles matches with Zack Sabre against Naito and Zack Sabre against Zanada. It also will probably lead to another cool singles match in Minoru Suzuki against Tetsuya Naito. I think that's going to be happening at Sakura Genesis as well. Or maybe in May for the Dontaku event. Who knows? But that should be some cool matches there. But it also leads to the junior tag title three-way mess continuing.
Yes, my favorite titles in wrestling. What can you say, really? They did it again. They teased it again with Roppongi coming out to attack and beat down everyone. So we could have another three-way on the horizon coming up soon. I know everyone is looking forward to that, I feel like. But yeah, the match at the anniversary show, we saw them win the titles. There's no reason for this to be a three-way, to my knowledge. But, you know, that's what they wanted. That's what they wanted, their junior tag title division. But the Los Ingobernables and the Suzuki-gun feud that they're brewing right now, I think it could be cool. Like you said, we already had Zack and Naito, and I think Naito and Suzuki, if he keeps up his run of events, which I am getting more and more confident about every match, I think that should be a tremendous experience. I think the crowd will be on fire for that. Even though Naito's lost a little steam lately, I think this is a great way to get him back on track. But I will say, it's kind of like, for him personally, I don't know how much I like him going for the IC title.
Yeah,
because it's like,
yeah, I know.
If you know, if he loses, then he just loses even more steam. Then if he wins, it's like he's in the same place he was a year ago. So, you know, it's like there's no real winning for Naito right now. He's really lost some steam, I think. And even in that Taichi match, it's like, who could have guessed they'd have a match? It'd be Naito versus Taichi, and Taichi was the one that everybody was talking about, you know, afterwards. That, to me, is a really bad sign, actually. And I don't know what Naito's future is holding right now, because to me, he's super cold as a singles, in my opinion. And hopefully that this feud with Suzuki could get him back. Suzuki is actually one of the more impressive and more on a roll members
and
of the roster right
damn,
now.
Damn improved, if you compare him to Suzuki in 2017.
It's the booking, man. They really got rid of all this bullcrap that they had him saddled with forever. The same with Zack. Zack was dealing with this crap too last year.
Yes, he did.
And now they eliminated all that stuff that I railed against and said was stupid, and everybody freaked out about. And now suddenly he's 20 times better, you know? I don't know how.
Funny
that
how
happened.
That works, right?
Yeah, exactly. Like I said, there should have been no defending of Suzuki ever before, but now no criticism for Suzuki, because he has been awesome. Even that match with Makabe, well, it over-delivered on expectations. So Suzuki, great wrestler. Naito needs some care going forward, because I think he's lost quite a bit since he's lost at the Tokyo Dome.
Yeah, you know, definitely lost some steam, and I really don't see anything for him right now. Suzuki versus Naito is one of those matches that nobody should lose, but somebody will.
Yeah. I felt like they had this thing with Jericho that they were building. And until that happens, he's just kind of floating.
Yeah, they probably will have that match at some point, but until then, as you mentioned, yeah, he's just now in the middle of nowhere right now.
Yeah.
It's, but definitely what is picking up some steam is the heavyweight tag team division here, Dylan, because there are some teams that, in the absence of Evil, they are positioned to be in a position where they could actually challenge for the IWGP Heavyweight Tag Team title. Most notably, of course, the Killer Elite Squad. They had some matches, some singles, some tag matches on this tour, and on the final show of the New Japan Cup, they beat Tomohiro Ishii and Toru Yano. And they also beat, let me quickly pull it up. Who did they beat?
Goto and Yoshihashi.
Yes, Goto Yoshihashi, but I think that's what I... Yes, Goto Yoshihashi, right. They beat them. They looked very strong. Lance Archer is making little boys cry, or little babies cry, in Kuroken Hall.
Listen, let me say something on that real quick. Because before Archer and Fale's match in the cup, I went to Archer myself, and I gave him three words that I knew would inspire him. And I told him, show me power. And he still lost, though. But he did show me power on the choke slam. So, Archer, I give you props because that was impressive. You got good air on Fale. That's hard to do. You showed me power, and I'm giving you props on that, on the tag team division, making babies cry. I don't know. I don't know what to say about that morally, but you showed me power.
He showed, yeah. Certainly, Toru Yano and Tomohiro Ishii are still in the talks for that, but they didn't look as strong as Archer and Davey Boy Smith Jr. did. And another team that I'm hoping for is that they are getting some recognition in the tag title picture are Juice Robinson and David Finlay, because they have put them back together after what they did in the World Tag League. Let's not talk about that again. But at the second-to-last New Japan Cup show, out of nowhere, David Finlay actually pinned Chucky T with a backslide. And, of course, Chucky T is with Trent, and they are heavyweights in New Japan. They could also have some words to say in the tag title picture. But now Finlay has pinned Chucky T, and Juice and Finlay also beat Goto and Yoshihashi. That is positioning Juice Robinson in a never title role, obviously, but they could also say, man, we now have some wins here after they lost to the Young Bucks. We have some wins here. We could also go for the tag title. And then, of course, at Strong Style Evolved, we have the big match between the Young Bucks and the Golden Lovers.
Yeah. Yeah, either of those teams could be in there, too. So they're actually doing some good rehab on the heavyweight tag title scene right now. They're getting some teams in line. I really thought that Chuck could beat Sonata and that could set up a tag title program for the best friends. Mm-hmm. But it didn't quite play out that way, but that's okay. Like I said, we're building these teams. I love the team of Juice and Finlay, personally. I really love Finlay and Hanari, too. Really, all of these three, like I said it last time, and I listened to, since you cheap plug for your British Wrestling Experience post on Post Wrestling, I listened to their Japanese show with John Pollock and W.H. Park, and W.H. said the same thing I did about the Juice and Finlay and Hanari being a faction. It's what the fans want to see, Striga.
Yes.
And also, I want to give props to Finlay. I think this guy, super underrated, as always, and he was on commentary for one of the nights of the New Japan Cup, and he did a great job, actually, like way better than I thought he would on commentary, because I didn't really see him as charismatic at all or anything, or promo, not charismatic, but not as good promo, and he just did a great job on commentary. He's someone that really impressed me, and in ring, I think he's possibly one of the most underrated in the world. He's someone that I think has a ton of upside, great understanding of the basics of wrestling, and has really managed to break through in that way, just not with wins yet, or really any kind of noteworthiness. Yeah. So if they have a good tag team run, I'm all for that, because I think that would be a great place for Juice, and that's right about where he needs to be, and I think it would elevate Finlay to a place he hasn't been in a long time. And the one time they really did get behind him with Ricochet during all that,
that's always the callback I have too with Finlay, yeah.
Yeah, he did a great job. Mm-hmm. And got super over. The crowd was going, it was super hot for him. Announcers saying, no more young boy, when that happened. like I said, Finlay, he's awesome. And I love the team. I hope they get the title shot next. I think whenever Evil comes back, as people try to forget about that horrendous Goto match, that's my conspiracy theory, that Evil faked the injury to make people forget about the match. Oh, but it won't happen as long as I'm on the air, Evil. You can't get away with it. And also, now that they're a babyface, he needs to change his name to something else, I think. But besides that, I think the tag match should be great if Juice and Finlay get that shot. Or even the team, I think this will all eventually build to the Golden Lovers winning the tag titles. I think that's where it should go. A lot of people are already speculating on some sort of breakup for them, but I think they should have one good tag title run before that happens, and give it a little time to breathe. Don't just break them up right away. I don't think that's a good idea, but I think the tag titles are definitely looking a lot better, but this is all on paper. We've seen times where it seemed like things were turning around, and then it was the same old, three ways over and over, and if they do that again, then the tag titles are just going to be where they are now. But I think there's definitely upside for once, and I think you have to praise them for that.
Yeah, it could easily lead to more four-way or three-way matches, as we mentioned, the teams that are in position for a possible tag title challenge or a tag title run. Since Zanada and Evil still have the tag titles, I presume that Evil will be returning soon, but they haven't announced anything yet.
I hope so.
Yeah, so we'll have to wait. But one thing is for sure, we have a full card for Strong Style Evolved this weekend in Long Beach in the Volta Pyramid. We have 9 matches on this card. The first match is Roppongi 3K with their manager, Rocky Romero, taking on SoCal Uncensored, Chris Daniels, Frankie Kazarian, and Scorpio Sky. Then we have Juice Robinson and David Finlay in another tag title opportunity going against Goto and Ghetto. We have the Killer Elite Squad, Davey Boy Smith Jr. and Lance Archer against Toru Yano and Chucky T. Oh man, that's your favorite tag team, I think.
Oh, the legends. Obviously right there.
Very interesting match. Up next is Cody and Marty Scurll against Tama Tonga and Tangaloa. Possibly more trouble within the Bullet Club. Or are the Tongans even still part of the Bullet Club?
Man, the Tongans, I really like them as a team, and this match will have some interest for the Bullet Club factor. I think they've really built the show around all the Bullet Club stuff, and obviously the Golden Lovers in the main event. So I think that match is going to get a lot of spotlight on the show when you look at it. Maybe we'll get some clarity on where the Tongans represent that. But because Chase Owens was an honorary Tongan, I feel that they may take their side and join up with them, if I had to guess.
Yeah. Let's see. It's definitely interesting that they just threw this match on this card here. I really like Marty Scurll's position in here because he seems to be in the midst of all this trouble in the Bullet Club, and he doesn't really know which side he's on right now. I think something will develop here at this event.
Also, he should win because he'll be challenging for the Ring of Honor title soon. So he'll probably get the ball in that match.
I see. Okay. Hiroshi Tanahashi, Kushida, Ryusuke Taguchi, and Dragon Lee take on Tetsuya Naito, Sanada, Bushi, and Hiromu Takahashi. Yep, it's going to be good.
Yeah, a lot of good people in that match.
Right. Then, sadly, Rey Mysterio Jr. had to cancel his booking due to his biceps injury, and thus Will Ospreay is stepping up to face Yushin Thunder Liger in a special singles match. Should be good, but bad news that Rey isn't going to be on the show after all.
Yeah, definitely bad news that Rey won't be there. He'll be missed. This Ospreay deal, who knows what this match will look like in LA right now. Liger getting a big singles match on this show. Obviously in America, he has that kind of, you know, he's still always over when he comes to America for, obvious reasons. And Ospreay, he's an international guy, so I'm sure the crowd will be super hot for this. I don't know what to say about this match, really, just that Ospreay is probably going to win, and that should be great. I'd love if Liger could win and get a title shot on Sakura Genesis. That's what they should do.
Would be cool, yeah.
Yeah.
Special tag match. Katsushika Okada and Tomohiro Ishii take on Minoru Suzuki and Zack Sabre Jr. in a prelude to Sakura Genesis. That should be a really fun match. And
yeah, that should be awesome.
Semi-main is Jay White defending the US heavyweight title against Hangman Page. And in the main event, of course, the special tag match, Kenny Omega and Kota Ibushi against the Young Bucks.
Yeah, about White and Page, they built it up, the U.S. title getting defended, and it's a big match for Jay. He's really...
Big match for Page as well.
Yeah, that's true. Page, he should stay in Ring of Honor, I think, more than New Japan. Like I said, however this match goes. But he, I think they've given him the spot in this Bullet Club feud, and they see something in him again, but I don't know how this match is going to look. White, to me, I think his promos has improved, and the way he's portraying this character, he's gotten a much better feel for it in the last couple of months. But besides when he worked with Finlay, I've really thought he's lacked something in the ring, and I don't see Paige being the one to bring it, like to elevate that to the next level. And I'm not really excited about this match at all, I have to say.
You know, I'm excited for this match because there are two young guys, two hungry young guys, that are put in a position where they basically have to deliver because it's the semi-main event of this show that people are expecting to be great. And that's,
are people expecting it to be great?
The show. Wait, it's the show itself.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. I think really the main event is...
Yeah, exactly. But the people are coming in are definitely expecting great matches from this show, even though they aren't bringing many singles matches to the
They
US.
Might not get it.
Yes, I know. They would still expect Wyatt and Paige to go all out, and both of these guys have proven that they can, and I think they will both be highly motivated to perform on a high level, and that's why I'm looking forward to this match.
Do we watch the same Hangman Page that's proven this? Because I wouldn't say that.
Yeah, I know that people aren't necessarily as high on a Hangman Page as I am, but I like the guy. And
you like?
Yes, I do. I like the guy.
Why?
Because I think he has a lot of potential to be a guy that I don't know if he'll ever be a great main event guy. I'm sure he'll be not. But I like this guy on a level that he could be just like as Juice Robinson. Not yet, of course, but I think he has definitely the potential to be on that level.
I wish they had Chase challenge for the title instead. Because it's like he does the same stuff but better and everything.
I don't know if he does it better. I don't know. I think that Hangman Page within the Bullet Club storyline plays his role just as good as Chase Owens did.
I mean, the only thing I see for him is he walked out in jeans and no T-shirt on. That right away is. You know, that's all he did for me in that segment. It stood out and looked stoic during that whole Golden Lovers reunion deal. This match, I don't know, man. You can like Paige if you want, but I definitely think Chase is the better one. That's an internet question for the listeners right there. Who's better, Paige or Chase Owens? Because I'm going with Owens. You like Paige and the way he's playing his role. White, I still like him in the ring. I just don't think he's shown... he hasn't quite got it in the ring yet. Besides that match with Finlay, which I thought was awesome.
Mm-hmm.
But I hope for the best. I hope this show really... I mean, it's obviously a success. They sold out in like 20 minutes or whatever. And I really think the main event is where this is going to live or die on in terms of how this show's remembered. As far as that goes, it's a huge match for the people that are going to this show. A huge draw. I expect some sort of big storyline development in terms of these guys, Cody, the rest of the Bullet Club, maybe even Hangman can be there. But I think the match is going to deliver what the people want to see. And the Bucks and Ibushi and Omega have all proven, I would say, that they've proven that they can go on a high level in the New Japan world. I think this match will be really strong. They're going to give everything they've got to the fans. Because Rey's not there, the card's... Basically, because this show sold out so fast, they kind of weaked out on the card, if we're just going to be real about it.
Yeah.
The main event is really where it's all at, and they're going to go out to make sure the fans go home happy, and I think they will, even if the show is bad, and I don't think this is a bad show, just not an especially interesting one. But the main event, if it delivers, that's what people are going to be talking about. Everyone's going to be happy, and I think it will. I really have confidence that these guys are going to do something. I don't know where they go next storyline-wise, but I think the main thing I'm interested in is who is going to be making out with Kenny Omega next in the Cody Rhodes family, because I think that maybe they bring in Dustin to do it. They've already got Cody. They got his wife. Who will be next, Striga?
Well, certainly the question about this main event is going to be, which side is Chase on? That is what I am at least am expecting. I don't know if it's going to happen, but I think that a lot of decisions will have to be made on this show when it comes to picking sides.
Yeah, and that's what I'm saying. Really, I think there's going to be a big angle at the end of all this that determines stuff like that. Or maybe these two teams just reunite, and that's the end of it. They all. raise their hands up in the air, like that Kobashi return match. They all four raised their arms up in the air at the end of the match. But yeah, I definitely foresee that happening. I think Cody is definitely going to say something. If he doesn't get involved directly, he's going to have something to say at the end of the main event. And I think that's really where we're going to see a lot of where we go from here and what's next in the storyline, which I think has kind of petered out in a little bit in terms of the New Japan side of things. Ibushi was kind of on his own in the tournament. They didn't really, you know, focus on this too much. It wasn't the time for it. But now we're going to see where they go next with the Golden Lovers and their saga they have with the Bullet Club.
Right. That's going to be this Sunday. We already talked about Sakura Genesis a bit. We have Okada versus Zack Sabre Jr. in the main event of that show, April 1st. It is. And of course, the Junior Heavyweight Tag Team title, three-way mess, El Desperado, Yoshinobu Kanemaru, champions defending against Sho and Yo, and Hiromu Takahashi and Bushi.
Yes.
Let's not talk about that anymore, but, you know, Dylan, this show we did just here was only about New Japan Pro Wrestling, just because in the aftermath of 16 Karat Gold, I went straight back to work, and for the last 2 weeks, I didn't really have any time to watch anything but New Japan, because there were so many of these New Japan Cup shows, and I would really love for them to go back to doing one show less for just doing the semifinals on one show. But here we are. They are drawing, and when they are drawing, they are obviously in the right. And
you can't argue with the numbers.
Exactly, you can't. So that's fine. I hope you still enjoyed this show. Only New Japan talk here, but I can promise you that we'll be back very soon with talks on different Japanese companies, especially since All Japan TV has launched this week, and the same day as the Strong Style Evolved show is happening, All Japan TV will be streaming live for the very first time the big Saitama show that we talked about on our last episode.
Yep, yeah, lots of stuff going on in the world of Japanese wrestling right now. It went quiet for a while. But now that business is picking up, we'll talk about some Noah too. Really interested to get into that and their craziness, more or less. Lots of stuff to talk about there on Noah, All Japan. Big Japan has their Strong Climb tournament going on right now.
DT has their show in
25th too. Sumo That's Hall. On the 25th too.
Right. Korakuen Hall for Ice Ribbon as well.
Yeah, let me ask you this, Strick. What show will you watch? What is your priority on the 25th?
My priority is to wake up and to go to Progress.
Oh, yeah. Oh, right. You're in London.
Exactly.
Good stuff there, Strick. I have mad love for London. I had mad love for England in general, and all of the UK, all of Europe.
I'll be staying with Mort, so we'll probably crawl out of bed at some point and then decide whether to watch DDT or All Japan. I'm not sure yet.
Brother Mort, right. That is a pairing that I'm excited about. In London for Progress, I hope you have a lot of fun. I hope both of you do, and everybody who's going to the Progress shows in London, have a lot of fun there.
Yeah, thank you very much. I'm very excited about this weekend. WXW is in London as well, so full circle again, back to WXW, just as we talked about it in the beginning of our show. Yeah, so I hoped you all enjoyed this one. If you want to discuss more pro wrestling with the two of us, you can of course send us an email. The email address is japan@mlw.com. But you can also get into direct interaction with us, which a lot of people always do after these shows that we put out. You can reach us through Twitter. I am at Striga, Striggga, and Dylan is on Twitter as well.
Check me out at Dylan Zero Sky. Talk about Japanese wrestling, Mexican wrestling, American wrestling, UK wrestling, like Striga's going to. Philippines wrestling, PWR, great company. Really, anywhere in the world, I love wrestling. You know, I don't know if that comes through or not, but it's something
sometimes
that...
Sometimes it does.
I really love wrestling wherever it's at. I think it's such a beautiful thing when you, in terms of the art form itself. And lately, I've been thinking about it a lot on a kind of a deepish level, so to speak. After that Daniel Bryan return I mentioned recently, it is just a lot of great things going on in the world of wrestling right now. It's got me super excited, super happy to see. And I think a lot of the fans are happy. I hope that people listening to the show liked it. And I love talking to all you guys, so check me out on there. Talk to me about anything. And also send the emails, too, because we love the emails.
You do.
Send all the emails you can. Well, and so check out my other show.
I was just going to say.
Yeah, check out my other show, too, Lucha Talk, on the MLW Radio Network. Talks about Lucha. I don't know if that comes through in the name or not, a show about Lucha. But I wanted to be a little vague with it, but they shut me down. But yeah, so lots of good stuff going on, including, I know, I feel like I say this every time I come on the show and plug Lucha Talk.
You talked about horrible wrestling.
Yeah, Triple A, but this time it was especially horrible. Possibly one of the worst, possibly one of the worst matches I've ever seen. And I'll
say
it
that every time.
But what do you think of this match, Strick? La Parca, Pagano, Dave the Clown, and EO Dr. Wagner Jr. 30 minutes.
Kill me.
30 minutes. That's what I suffered through for the listeners. Wow. So please. And also,
you have to honor that. You have to listen.
Yeah, we need the downloads. We need the ratings. So please honor my sacrifice for the people. But even Microman Fever didn't watch the whole show. That's how bad it was. Wow. And he usually likes AAA a lot more than me. But we also talk about Dos Leyendas. Great main event. Far better. Far, far, far better. Great main event. Angel De Oro versus Cuatrero and a mask versus mask match. And a really great opener, too, we talk about. Awesome show. Check it out on MLW. And I think that's about it, Strick. No. We have one more thing. I don't care if it's all New Japan. I'm breaking the rules right now.
Shh.
We have to have the Hideki Suzuki update on this show.
That's true.
I want to mention, I just mentioned the Strong Climb earlier. He just got his first win in the tournament, beating Yoshihisa Uto. Great win for Suzuki. And we, at least me on this show, support Hideki in his run to reclaim the BJW Strong Style Heavyweight title.
Yep, and he also was on the most recent Hard Hit show in the seventh match of the show against a guy named Sho Karasawa. So that's your Hideki Suzuki update for this week.
Yes.
But now that's about it. So to you, the listener, thank you for listening and goodbye.
Sayonara.
This is the MLWRadio.com network.